All right. Welcome back to the last few minutes of the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. It's 844-967-2789. You can text us that same number. My guest is Mr. Reggie Jackson. So, Reggie, you were saying what before we went to break?
Yeah, Earl, you know, you just mentioned, you know, we don't expect law enforcement to take people's lives, right? That's really not what they're there for. They're there to protect people. It shouldn't be a part of their lives where they have to pull out their gun and take somebody's life. Now, I've talked to a lot of police officers over the course of a number of years, and many of them tell me that they've never fired their
gun. Yeah, I know. I know many of them, their whole career in Milwaukee.
Exactly. It's not normal for them to pull out their gun and fire it, right? But nationwide, Earl, over 1,000 people every year are killed by the police. Over 1,000 people every year. So when we think about the ones that we hear about, you know, the ones that end up being national news, that's just a drop in the bucket, Earl. There is no reason that, first of all, we don't have a national database of police killings, right? There's no government agency at the state level, federal level, local level, that requires police to report when they kill people and keep track of it and have, you know, data associated with it in terms of circumstances. So back in 2015, the Washington Post started to track police shootings. But you know where they got the information from, Earl? They didn't get it from the police departments. They literally had to scour newspapers around the country to see if there was a story in the newspaper about a police killing. So we all know this, Earl. Come on. We all know this, that there are a lot of newspapers, small-town newspapers. They're never going to report that. They're not going to report it because, you know, the blue lives matter, right?
Yes.
They want to promote the police, and they want to support the police. And just to show that this white police officer, black police officer, whoever he is, shot and killed some unarmed person, that's problematic. That goes against the narrative of the police being the good guys all the time, right? But this is the other part of it, Earl. People will say, well, you know, black people are killed by the police, you know, but it's way more white people killed by the police than it is black people. Of course it is. It's way more white people.
Right.
But when you look at it from proportionality, black people are killed at almost three times the rate of white people by the police. Unarmed black people are killed at five times the rate of unarmed white people by the police. So we look at this brother, Jaylen Walker, that was shot and killed by the police. And we look back at George Floyd. Have you seen any viral videos of white people being killed by the police, Earl?
No, man.
Have you seen it?
No.
And this is a question that some of those conservatives are asking. You know, why is it such a big deal? They're showing these videos of black people being killed. Well, what about white people that are killed? Because there are no viral videos of white people being killed by the police, Earl. That's the difference. All of the videos that we've seen have been of black and you know, a few Hispanic individuals. But the point of this, the point I'm trying to make is that there's something wrong with policing when the police are killing 1,000 people a year in this country. 1,000 people a year, Earl. That's unfathomable. And, you know, people will say, well, it's a dangerous job. And, Earl, more police officers over the last 3 years, like way more, have died from COVID than have died from being shot in the line of duty. It's not even close. So when we talk about how dangerous the job is, it's dangerous because police officers around the country have made the decision that they're not going to get vaccinated. And they're putting their lives on the line by not getting vaccinated and dying from COVID at a much higher rate than they are from being shot. People think that police are shot and killed all the time, and it's always tragic when a police officer loses his life in the line of duty. It's always tragic because these people are risking their lives. They're doing a service to our community. But by the same token, Earl, as dangerous as their job is, somehow it's dangerous to be a black person, be in contact with the police. And black people, we know this, Earl, because we had these conversations with each other, right? We know how deathly afraid we are when the police pull up behind us. Our heart rate increases. We start to sweat. We start thinking a million different thoughts about how am I going to handle this. White people don't do that. They reach for their wallet to get their ID and their registration, their insurance. They just reach for it casually. Black people ain't trying to reach for nothing. I had a police officer tell me this when he pulled me over. He said, sir, this is what I need you to know. Do not reach for anything. until I ask you to show me something. When I ask you to show me your registration, you can reach for it. Don't reach for it before then. I'm like, well, thank you, officer. I appreciate that. Do I have your permission to reach for my registration? Yes, you do, sir. These are things we have to do, Earl. White people ain't got to sit around thinking about this. Because they have interactions with the police officers. And by the way, 55% of all Milwaukee City police officers don't live in the city of Milwaukee anymore. 55%. White people, the police officers, their next door neighbor, Earl, is their bowling buddy. He's the guy that coaches their son's softball team. That's not the case for us.
You know, Reggie, man, we've been going at it for a couple hours. Didn't get one call, even though I know that people are listening. And I don't want us to get out of here again with people believing that this is an assault and attack on white people. That is not what this is. We've said it once before. We want to reiterate that. But we can't be silent when if whites don't want their kids to feel bad, and we see kids in our neighborhoods and in our communities who feel bad because they're black and can't seem to do things because they think being black is still a curse in some way, shape, or form. For us to continue to allow those young black children to live the kind of lives that they live, Reggie, when you and I are adult males who have lived through some things and know some truths, for us to remain silent is just like the people who don't want their kids to feel bad. You think we want our kids to feel bad? They think they're nothing because they live in a society that basically says they're nothing. And so we have a responsibility. Just like people feel they have a responsibility when they're talking to their children, you and I have a responsibility to talk to ours. And our children cannot be given untruths anymore. The society feeds them that. What kind of people would you and I be, Reggie, if we continue to feed them those same untruths?
We would be the men that we are.
Right.
We would not be the responsible adult black males in our community that are doing the right thing. We certainly wouldn't. We wouldn't fit in that category anymore. And we would be the type of people that are disrespectful to their ancestors if we didn't tell the truth.
Right.
I tell people this all the time. The stories that I share about American history, I'm not talking about slavery. I'm talking about my family members that were enslaved by a man named Dempsey Dilson, Mississippi. I've walked on the land where my family was enslaved, Earl. I have soil from the ground where my family was enslaved, Earl. I've seen the last will and testament of the woman that owned my family, giving my family members away. I'm telling their stories, Earl. We're sharing the stories that nobody else is willing to share because it is incumbent upon us as Americans to realize that, listen, lies will only take you so far. And we're at a point in America right now, Earl, where we're beginning to realize that, man, we've told so many lies, but now how do we deal with the fact that people aren't believing those lies? People from other countries are looking at the United States and saying, wait a minute, what's wrong with y'all? What is wrong with your country that y'all can't even tell the truth about y'all history? And want to tell the world that you are the moral force of the universe.
Yes, I mean, that's...
But you can't tell the truth about Thomas Jefferson, George Washington, slavery, Jim Crow, segregation, lynchings, current-day systemic racism. You can't tell the truth about that, but somehow we're supposed to look up to y'all? Like, you are a big brother that we're supposed to admire. No, people don't admire the U.S. in that way because they know the truth.
You know,
willing to talk about it.
You know, Reggie, and the way you talk about it and the way you travel again, and people should know that you go back time and time again to areas that are completely segregated and have these kinds of discussions, and those people ask you back. So this is not hate. None of what we're talking about is hate. This is just facts.
Yeah, you know, people want to say that when you tell the truth, and this is what I say, Earl, all the time to people. Like, listen, I'm just giving you the information that is easy to find if you know where to look. And you evaluated how you choose value. I'm not telling you that you look at Thomas Jefferson, you say he's a bad person. That's your choice. You judge him however you want to judge him. But when I tell you that, yeah, he definitely owned hundreds of black people, that he definitely raped the 14-year-old black girl who became his concubine, that's just factual information. I'm not saying that there's anything bad about him. I'm just telling you this is the truth. And how you evaluate it is based on what you've been led to believe about Thomas Jefferson.
Hey, Reggie, man. Thank you, man. Just spectacular conversation as always. We got to do it again. Really appreciate it. We'll talk soon.
All right.
Thank you, man. Thank you. Love you. All right. Listen, that's Reggie Jackson, and I'll be back on tomorrow. You've been tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. See you later.